Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles and right back to where we were last Sunday, Matthew chapter number 28. In fact, I was going to share this thought. I was going to share this thought with us during the sunrise service, and we just didn't have time to get it in, and it was just too good of a thought not to give it to you. And so I want to try to show you that today. I'm going to do my best to pace myself. I'm going to try to teach you this morning. And you know that's a little difficult for me to do, but I'm going to do my best to try to teach this instead of preach this today. But when you find your place, if you'll stand this morning out of respect for the reading of God's Word, Matthew 28. And I want to give you a thought, but a thought that turned into a message. And I hope that this is going to be a help to you. I really believe it is. I believe that God's got somebody here today that really needs to hear this. And I'm going to be honest with you, this has helped me as the Lord gave me this message. And I hope it'll be a help. Matthew 28, verse 1, the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. We've heard a little bit about that in the last little bit, hadn't we? The Bible says, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You may be seated this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll jump into this Bible study this morning. Father, we thank you. What an incredible Sunday morning it's been. And our hearts have been so encouraged and stirred. And we thank you for, Lord, just the wonderful emphasis on missions today. And God, thank you for challenging our hearts, Lord, concerning foreign missions. And Lord, help us to realize that there are people all across the world that desperately, desperately need a Savior. And Lord, someone's got to care enough to go tell them. And so, Father, we thank you for these that represent them today. And I pray that you would bless them in a very wonderful and spectacular way. Lord, we thank you for the great music and the singing and the choir and the specials. And now, Lord, I pray that our hearts have been prepared. And I pray that you'll teach us something from your word. And I pray that we would be encouraged. I pray that souls would be saved. And Lord, more than anything in the world right now, we pray that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified, that our minds would be on him, that our attention would be captivated by him, not by a preacher, Lord, not by a personality, not even by a problem. But God, I pray that we would be captivated by the wonderful Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll help us now. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Well, when I'm getting ready to preach from a passage, I like to read that passage over and over and over again. And so last week, as we were getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we had been camping out in Matthew chapter 28, just reading it over and over and over again. And of course, God gave me the message that he gave me last Sunday on Resurrection Day. And but along that time, as I was studying through Matthew 28, God showed me a truth that I had never noticed this before. And of course, we know the Word of God is like that. It's always fresh, and you can read the same passage multiple times, and yet you'll go back there and there'll be something brand new. There'll be something fresh from that passage again. And such was the case with the truth that I want to give you today. Let me tell you a little bit about Matthew chapter 28. The Bible tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, who is this other Mary? Well, we believe that, of course, there was a disciple They called James the Less. And this was James the Less's mother. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they're traveling to the tomb, to visit the tomb. And our Bible tells us that the tomb is, this is not just any tomb, but this tomb is being guarded by Roman soldiers. Not only guarded by a Roman watch, but the Bible tells us that there is a Roman seal that has been placed upon the tomb. And basically that Roman seal says to everybody that comes around that it is unlawful by an edict of Rome, it is unlawful for this tomb to be opened. Well, the Bible tells us that when the women arrive, they encounter something very, very supernatural. The Bible says the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and has literally rolled the stone from the tomb. Now, I want us to just for a moment, I want us to notice this angel, the angel of the Lord. The Bible says about the angel of the Lord that he is very glorious in his appearance. Notice several things there in verses 3 and verse 4. The Bible says his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. Now, when the Bible talks about countenance, of course, that's the idea of his face. His countenance was like lightning. Now, I looked that up, that word lightning there, and it means the gleam of a lamp or bright shining. The other night I was coming home from church, and we've been having some really unique weather here recently, and it was one of those stormy nights. In fact, we had stayed a little while to counsel after the service, and I left out of here about 10:30 probably or so, and on my way home, it was stormy, and the lightning was just literally just going sideways. It was just amazing. You know, it's one of those kind of things where you just could not miss it because it literally lit up the sky. Well, the Bible says about this angel that his countenance was like that. It was bright shining. It was the gleam of a lamp. And then the Bible says that his clothing is white as snow. And so we notice his countenance is glorious. We notice that his clothing is glorious. And then we notice not only his countenance and his clothing, but we notice his capability is unparalleled. The Bible says that he easily rolls the stone away. And some say that this stone could have weighed upwards of 2 tons. 2 tons. And then Brother Looney and I were talking about this just the other night. And there are some scholars that believe that the way this scripture is rendered here, that when the Bible says that the angel came and rolled the stone away, it doesn't mean that he just rolled it away enough for Jesus. By the way, he didn't have to roll the stone away for Jesus to come out. Did you know that? Yeah. Did you know that Jesus could have came out without the stone rolled away? And so the stone wasn't rolled away so Jesus could come out. The stone was rolled away so you could see in. Amen. And so that you could see the tomb was empty. But the rendering of the scripture is that the angel didn't just roll it barely out of the way. The rendering of the scripture is that the angel literally, totally displaced the stone away from the tomb altogether. He didn't just merely roll it away, but it was totally away from the tomb. But that's not what stood out to me the most. This is what I want to show you today, here in Matthew chapter 28. The glory that terrified the lost, by the way, almost to death, did not have the same effect on the saved. Now, I've read this many times, many, many times, and I know you have as well. And a lot of times, especially during Easter, we sort of, you know, camp out in passages like this. And I had read this many, many times, but I never noticed that the reactions between the lost and the saved are totally different reactions. Now, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, let me draw your attention to verse number 4, if I could. Matthew chapter 28, verse 4. The Bible says, and for fear of him, that's the angel of the Lord, and for fear of him, look at this, the Bible says, the keepers did, what did they do? They shake. The keepers did shake. I looked that up, and the word shake there means to go sideways. Sideways. It also means to go to and fro. To and fro. You ever been there? You folks that have vertigo, you've been there a few times, haven't you? You ever went sideways, to and fro? And that's what the Bible says. When that angel of the Lord appeared, they literally begin to shake back and forth, side to side. And I really believe this. I really believe they finally just fell out. I believe that's what happened. Not only that, but the Bible says they became as dead men. All right. Have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard somebody say, man, that guy was so scared, he was frozen stiff. That's what it means. It really means like a corpse. And so we notice when the angel of the Lord appears and he is glorious in his appearance, the Bible says the keepers did shake and became as dead men. But as I'm reading through this, I notice the very next verse, verse number 5, I notice that those that believed, their reaction was totally different. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, then the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. You see, they came there for a totally different reason. They came there to see the Son of God. They believed he was who he said he was. They were believers. They were redeemed. They were born again. And they came here to see the Savior. And so the reactions are totally different. One person became shaky and fell out as dead. But the other person, fear is, it has no fear. In fact, if you read that scripture on, we find out that more than likely those ladies went in. They were invited into the tomb to see where the body once lay. Now, again, totally different reactions here. By the way, let me just pay tribute to this real quickly. Did you know a lot of times you see that exact same response played out in the church? What do you mean, preacher? And now, after pastoring for 33 years, I've seen this happen a number of times where a service, where God really begins to work in a service and the glory of the Lord begins to show up in a service. And all of a sudden, you know what? It's maybe not necessarily coming to the altar time, but people start coming to the altar and all of a sudden you see people begin to shed some tears, or you see someone who really gets in a spirit of worship and they just can't stand it. All of a sudden their hand goes up and they start just praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, or maybe they say amen or glory or hallelujah, or maybe somebody gets up and says, man, I just gotta give a testimony, I just gotta praise the Lord. And man, there's a spirit of worship, there's a spirit of glory that sort of breaks out in the service. And you know what's amazing is to see those who are saved, when God begins to manifest his glory in the service, those who are believers, you know what, they encourage it, they enjoy it. Man, they like that testimony. You know what? It doesn't scare them that a sister comes to the altar and begins to weep. That doesn't scare them. It doesn't scare them that somebody begins to shout or somebody begins to raise their hand. You know what? By the way, that's all in order in the house of God. And that doesn't bother them. You know why? Because they have a spirit inside of them that's bearing witness. They understand why they're getting excited, why they're worshiping, who it is that they're worshiping. But at the same time, I've watched that those that are in the service that don't know the Lord, totally different reaction. They begin to become nervous and they begin to become fearful. Now, church, there's a great lesson we learn here from Matthew chapter 28, a great lesson. And here it is. If you are failing to seek Jesus, you have good reason to fear. If you are failing to seek Jesus, you have good reason to fear. No wonder those soldiers fell out. You know why? They didn't believe. No wonder they shook in their boots. If you're failing to seek Jesus, you have good reason to fear. People who don't know the Lord had better fear. Now, I know that's not popular preaching. I know that's not politically correct anymore. But if you don't know the Savior, listen, you have good reason to be fearful. Listen to Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. How about to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. How about 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't know Christ as Savior, and you say, preacher, I've never been saved, don't have any plans of getting saved. And I'm glad you're here. I mean that. I'm glad you're here. I may not even know you, but I love you. I love your soul. I'm burdened about your soul. But I just want to tell you, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're born again and on your way to heaven, you have good reason to fear. Good reason to fear. Why? Because we don't know if we're promised another breath. And so you say, well, you know what, Brother Pope? I'll keep coming back, and one of these days I'll get saved. But here's the thing. You don't know that you're going to have one of these days. And we just got done preaching a funeral just a few days ago. We're going to preach another funeral today. And listen, you don't know when that time is going to come for you, but I can guarantee this, that time is going to come. And so if you don't know Christ, you have very good reason to fear. But there's something else. There's a flip side of that truth. If you know the Savior, fear not. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, fear not. Now I asked Brother Evan and Miss Cassidy if they put this little slide up there on the screen. And somebody said it like this: know Christ. If you don't have Christ, you're going to know fear. You know what? If you really don't know the Lord, if you really don't know whether you're going to heaven or hell, well, sometimes it's hard to go to sleep at night, isn't it? And by the way, if it's not hard to go to sleep, it ought to be. You see, if there's no Christ in your life, amen. Oh, this might be good just teaching today, but this is good teaching. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to know fear. By the way, you may be footloose and fancy free. Everything may be just great right now. Everything may be just hunky-dory. But I'm just telling you, the Bible says that life is full of troubles and problems are going to come and storms are going to come and valleys are going to come. And this is what I'm saying. If you don't know Christ, if Christ is not in your life, you're going to know fear. But here's the great other part of that. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, if He lives inside of you and you know Him, He belongs to you and you belong to Him. Guess what? Thank God. There is no fear. There's no fear. Man, when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no fear. Listen to these verses. You can just jot them down in the margin of your Bible. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. How about Psalm 56? And verse 4, in God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. How about Psalm 118 and verse number 6? The Bible says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? How about Psalm 23 and verse number 4? Many of you can remember, you can quote that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Child of God, I hope you'll hear me out today. Did you know that the Lord is so serious about this thing of fear that our Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? Now again, notice two different reactions. One group is terrified. One group is shaking in their boots. One group becomes like corpse. The other group, fear not. And they walk into the tomb. And they see where the body was at one time. One has incredible fear. One is terrified. The other is confident. The other has no fear at all. Why? Because one doesn't know Jesus Christ, but the other does know Jesus Christ. And so listen, if you're here today and you know the Lord, if you have Christ, thank God you don't have to fear. Now, again, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a few for instances this morning. I just wrote these things down. Number one, you know what? I need not fear death. Because I've been promised life. I don't have to fear death because I've been promised life. Listen, don't you feel so sorry for these people that live in absolute fear? And by the way, studying this out this week, man, that's a real thing. Did you know there's something called phobia? You say that's fear of, yeah, you're right, fear of fear. There are people who are so fearful that it restricts their movement in life. There's something called, let me see if I can get this long word right, thanatophobia. Thanatophobia. You know what it means? It's an intense fear of dying to the extent that it disrupts life. These people won't go to the hospital. They won't go to a funeral home. They won't talk about death. They won't purchase insurance. You know why? Because they are absolutely terrified that they're going to die. They're terrified that they're not going to live. But listen to what the Bible says about death for those that are born again. Psalm 116 verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How about Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 1? A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. How about Philippians chapter 1 verse 21? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not, Paul said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What's Paul saying? Death doesn't bother me. That's what Paul is saying. Listen, I don't fear the grave. I don't fear the tomb. That's what Paul says. And Christians would come and they would say, Paul, don't go. Paul, don't go. Don't go to that mission field. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. If you go there, listen, you might die. And Paul said, you don't seem to understand. I'm not willing only to give my life for Jesus. I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ. Paul had no fear in death. In fact, listen to what our Lord said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, church, hear me out. Hear me out. Listen, I've got so much to learn. In fact, the more you learn, the more you learn you don't know. But I'm not a novice anymore. I've been at this thing for just a little while. Over 33 years pastoring this church. But I came here to tell you something. Listen, there is a difference. There is a difference between somebody who dies and knows Jesus and somebody who dies and doesn't know Jesus. There is a difference. I'm telling you, are you listening to me? There is a difference. And somebody who's been born again, they're washed in the blood of Christ. They're covered by the grace of God. I'm telling you, brother, when death comes knocking, there's something different about somebody who knows Christ as Savior and somebody who doesn't. One is fearful. One is not fearful. Listen, oh, there's something different about it. My little mama, I'm telling you, mama was apprehensive about a lot of things. Mama, listen, Mama didn't want to fly anywhere. She didn't care about flying. We'd say, Mom, let's go on a vacation. Let's go fly to Hawaii. She didn't want to fly to Hawaii. She was apprehensive about that. Now, she'd go to the theme park with you, but when you said, Mom, go ride the roller coaster, she didn't want to ride the roller coaster. And by the way, she didn't ride the roller coaster. Mom was a little apprehensive about riding a motorcycle. And Dad used to have a motorcycle back in the day, And Mom would reluctantly, she would ride that motorcycle. She was apprehensive about that, though. She was a little fearful of it. But can I tell you something? My mama never had not an ounce of fear when it came to death. Are you listening to me? I mean, listen, I'm sure that Mom had to have known that death was not far away. And yet, when you talk to Mom and you spent time with Mom, amen, you know what you realize? You realize that there was no fear there. You know why there was no fear? Because my little mama knew Jesus as her personal Savior. And she knew that when the day finally came and she closed her eyes on this side, hallelujah, she'd open her eyes on the other side. And listen, for those of you who are born again, when you die, it's just an address change. That's all it is. Listen, you'll close your eyes here. You'll open your eyes there. You'll take your last breath here. You'll take your next breath there. Hey, listen, there is no fear when you know Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I saw John and Melissa over here, and Melissa, I couldn't help but think about your little mama. I'm telling you what. And Miss Mary knew poor health for so long. And I can remember going over. They put her, you know, in a place for some rehabilitation and just trying to get her healthy again. And she just had such a hard time. And I can remember going over there time and time and time again and visiting with Mary. And I think Mary probably knew that she was not far from death's door. And yet Mary, I'd go in to encourage her. church. She'd encourage me. And Mary never exhibited not one ounce of fear when it came to death. She was ready. Are you listening to me? She was ready to see the Lord. And so, oh, thank God, I need not fear death because I've been promised heaven. I'll tell you something else. I need not fear circumstances because I've been promised grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, church, hear me out. You're gonna go through some things. You're gonna go through some valleys. You're gonna go through some burdens. You're gonna go through some storms. But I've got great news. You don't have to fear. You know why? His grace is sufficient. That's why. It doesn't matter what, listen, doesn't matter what you come to, as long as you have him, you've got grace to get through it. I need not fear death because I've been promised heaven. I need not fear circumstances because I've been promised grace. And then I thought about this. I need not fear lack because I've been promised provision. Psalm 37:25, the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And then I thought about Luke chapter 12 and verse 28. Our Lord said, if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Listen, you don't have to worry. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your need. You may be here this morning and say, preacher, you don't even know this. I haven't even told you yet, but I just lost my job and it was totally unexpected and I made good money. And preacher, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'll tell you this. If you'll just be faithful to the Lord and just serve him and keep him first, God is going to take care of you and God's going to meet your need. Hey, anybody listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, there is a God. There's a God in heaven and God is going to take care of you. This is what I'm saying, church, don't fear. Don't fear. Now, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you got something to fear. You ought to be fearful. But if you're here today and you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, oh, you need not fear. It's a shame. Many people, they let fear cripple, literally cripple their lives. Just this week, I was reading a story about a young mother, and she had her young child, and they were walking close. They're walking close to a river. And somehow, something happened and the mom wasn't paying attention. And the little girl slipped off away from the mom and fell into the river. And the mom was just overcome with fear. She began to scream. She became hysterical. And she said, somebody save my little girl. Somebody save my little girl. Somebody save my little girl. I can't swim. Somebody save my little girl. And that little girl just having a hard time keeping her head up above the water. And the mama was just screaming and screaming and screaming. And finally, somebody came and they ran down into the water and they grabbed the little girl, but it was too late. You know what's really sad about that story? That water, it was only waist deep. It was waist deep. That mom could have saved her little girl, but fear overcame her. Fear literally terrified her life. And my point this morning, church, is this, that if you know Jesus, you need not live in fear. I read the story of a little child, and I guess this was just the way it had to go to its house each day. And every evening, it would have to walk past a dark, condemned house that just looked, it was all broken down and cobwebs and all grown up with vines, and it was just a spooky house. And this little kid hated walking by that home. He hated going by. They were so scared. And so some people, you know, they heard about his fear. And so one group came to the child and they said, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a good luck charm. And when you walk by the house, just put on this good luck charm and it'll protect you. But I'm going to be honest with you, that didn't help him very much. Another group came and they said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll install a light right there on the corner, right there at the sidewalk. And when you walk past this spooky house, at least there'll be just a little bit of light right there. And you know, that sort of worked, but really didn't offer a lot of solace. And then there was another group who came and they just sort of preached at the kid. And they said, listen, y'all not be so fearful. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Well, that really helps, you know, when you preach at people like that. You know, that really helps, you know. Just trust in the Lord. You're not right with God because you're fearful. That didn't help very much either. But then somebody came to the child and said, hey, why don't I do this? When you walk past the house, what about if I just walk with you? What if we just walk hand in hand when we're going by that spooky place? I'll just come by your side and you can hold my hand and we'll walk by this house side by side. And I thought, man, isn't that a blessing? If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, aren't you glad that when you go through the spooky times of life and the dreary times of life and the dark times of life, boy, aren't you glad that you don't walk by yourself? Aren't you glad you don't go through the valley by yourself? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you have your Savior that comes by and says, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm not going to give you a good luck charm. I'm not going to install a light bulb. I'm not going to preach at you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to come and I'm going to get you by the hand and I'm going to walk with you. Aren't you glad the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm glad I can come here today and tell you he's with you. Amen. He's with you. You say, Pastor, our heart is heavy. We just lost a loved one, or preacher, I just got a cancer diagnosis, or preacher, I just got a bad prognosis from the doctor, or preacher, we're having a hard time financially. Hey, I got good news, church. I got good news. He's with you. He's with you. He's with you. Fear you not. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear. Man, I probably shouldn't end with something humorous, but man, it just fits so good here. I read about a lady this week, 84 years old. 84 years old, grandma, still lived by herself. And all of her kids lived in the same town where she lived, but she never called them unless it was an absolute emergency. She never bothered them. And so very seldom did they ever get a call from grandma. Grandma's very independent. And she was 84, but she said, you know what? I'm okay. I can take care of myself. But one morning, sure enough, one of the sons got a call. And his mom said, I think I need you to come. So he jumped in his car, didn't get those calls very often. He knew it had to be something serious. So he jumped in his car and he sped over to his mama's house, 84 years old. And he said, hey, mom, he said, is there everything okay? She said, well, I'm not sure. She said, I think there's a burglar in the closet. He said, do what? She said, I'm pretty sure there's a burglar in the closet. And he said, well, mom, what in the world makes you think that? She said, well, last night, she said, I heard all kind of movings around in the closet. He said, what? Mom, you heard these sounds last night? She said, yeah, that's right. He said, why didn't you call me? And she said, well, honey, it was so late. I didn't want to bother you. And she said, I just nailed the closet door shut and went to bed. Come on now, church. Come on. Get in close with me here. I just nailed the closet door shut and went to bed. Did you know there's a lot of people here this morning and maybe you're battling with fear? There's something that's going on in your life, and God sent me here today to tell you it's time that you nail the door shut, amen. Hey, you're worried about things. You're full of anxiety. You don't know how you're going to make it. You're going to the doctor to take this drug and that drug and this medication, and nothing seems to work. And you say, preacher, I'm so fearful that I'm struggling with depression and discouragement, and I'm so fearful that I'm not serving the Lord. I don't have a good testimony. Listen, it is time that you nail the door shut on fear and say, Lord, I'm not fearing any longer. I've got you with me. You're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. And by the grace of God, from this day on, I am going forward. Forward. Wow. One group was terrified, shaking in their boots like dead people. The other group, by the way, church, you got to get this. This is so beautiful. Roman legionnaires. These are trained assassins. And they're shaking in their ever-loving boots. And then there's a couple women. They don't have swords. They don't have shields. They don't have spears. There's a couple women. And they're not fearful at all. Because they know him. I have a question for you. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord of Lords? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you talk to him every day? Does he talk to you through his word? Do you know that you know that you know that you're born again? And if the answer to that is yes, then fear not. Fear not. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be quite honest, I'm not sure. If I were to die, I'm not sure about heaven. I just don't know. I just don't know. It's not that I hate the Lord or anything like that. It's not that I hate church. I don't hate the Bible, but I just don't know Christ. Then you have reason to fear. Would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads with us all over the house this afternoon? How about you, friend? If you died today, do you know that you know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Has there been a time in your life when you trusted the Savior, when you trusted Christ? And if not, in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to make your way down to this old-fashioned altar. There are going to be some people across this altar that have a Bible in their hand. And they want to take the Bible and show you how you can know Christ as your personal Savior. But wait a minute. If you're here today and you say, Brother Pope, I am saved. I am saved. And you didn't know anything about this. But I'm full of fear. There's some unseen things in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how things are going to work out. And preacher, I'm just full of fear. I'm full of anxiety today. Preacher, it's got me crippled. I don't know. I can't hardly breathe. I don't know if I'm going to make it another day because I'm so full of fear. All right? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, saved person. I'm going to ask you to come as well. And I want you just to find a place on this altar this morning. And I want you just to tell the Lord about that fear. And Lord, let the Lord help you. Let the Lord conquer that fear in your life today. Would you stand with us all over the house? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Is there one here this morning, one here, and you'd say, Pastor, if I died today, I'm not sure that I would make it to heaven. Preacher, please remember me. Is there one right now? You'd raise your hand up really high so I can pray with you. Is there one? I just want to pray for you. You'd raise your hand right now. Come on, be honest. Preacher, if I died, I'm not sure of heaven. Would you pray? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? All right. I see that hand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Father, we love you. Wow. Lord, I'm so glad this is not just fluff. Lord, I'm glad that what we're preaching is true. God, if we know Jesus, we don't have to know fear. God, I pray today that you would work in hearts. I pray that you would save the lost. Oh, God, I pray you'd do that today more than anything. Father, save the lost. But then, Lord, I pray that those that are battling with fear right now in their heart and their lives, God, help them to come. Help them to come and get victory today. Lord, have your way in this invitation, please. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Our head